Today's shiur is Daf Mem Aleph in Masechta Pesachim, and we will begin at 9 lines from the top, the words Ein Mevashlim. As we learned yesterday in the Mishnah, the halacha is Ein Mevashlim, we're not allowed to cook the Korban Pesach in any liquid, any fruit juice. The pasuk says, you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach in the standards of no, which we'll explain soon, or boshel mevushel b'mayim, or boiled in water, ki im tzli'esh, only in a roasted status. Begins the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan b'mayim. Tana says that it's prohibited to cook the Korban Pesach in water. Eini al b'mayim. I would perhaps say that only water may not be used to boil the Korban Pesach. Shar mashkim minayim. How do we know that this din even applies to other liquids as well? Amar kal v'chomer. We'll say kal v'chomer. Omar mayim she'ei mefigin tamom. If water, which doesn't have its own independent taste and doesn't change therefore the taste of the meat, asurin, the Torah tells us, may not be used to boil the Korban Pesach in. Shar mashkim she'ei mefigin tamom. Other beverages which impart a taste on the carbon, certainly lakolshkein, are also to boil the Korban Pesach in them. Ask Tosfos that we have a rule, emas hirim and adin, that we can't learn a din through a kal v'chomer. So therefore ask Tosfos, how can we learn from a kal v'chomer that other liquids may not be used to boil the Korban Pesach? So Tosfos answers, and this is not really a kal v'chomer. What this is telling us is that when the Torah uses the words u'boshel bishel, it's a gili milsa, the Gemara is teaching us that that includes shar mashkin. The tzlach answers differently. He says that other liquids may not be used to cook the Korban Pesach in is known from the Torah. Because as we said before, the pasuk says, ki im tzli esh. The Korban Pesach must be roasted. So the kal v'chomer here is not teaching us something new that we never knew before. We knew before that we can't cook the Korban Pesach in any liquid. We just didn't know that it's alive. Where we know something is usur, there a kal v'chomer can teach us that not only is it usur, but somebody who does it transgresses a law, because it's not teaching us something new. The Mechitz Chinuch asks that we learned earlier in our Masechta a rule in kal v'chomer. Kol kal v'chomer shatadon did tchilos l'hachmer. Any kal v'chomer which, although at the beginning it teaches us a chumrah, the soifel l'hakel, but at the end, through kal v'chomer, we have a kula, ein oidin, is not considered a legitimate kal v'chomer. Ask the Mechitz Chinuch, if so, how could this kal v'chomer that we just learned be considered a good kal v'chomer? Because through this kal v'chomer we're saying that you're not allowed to boil the Korban Pesach in any liquid. If somebody did boil the Korban Pesach in any liquid, not just water, it will not be considered a Korban Pesach. Therefore, if it's left over, it will not be considered noiser. If somebody eats it, it will not be over for noiser. So we have through this kal v'chomer, which through the kal v'chomer we're not allowed to cook the Korban Pesach in any liquid, we end up with a kula that it will not be considered noiser. Answers Rabbi Choron that when we said that a kal v'chomer that teaches us a kula is not a kal v'chomer, is only if through the kal v'chomer we have now two results. We have a result that's a kula, and we have a result that's a chumrah. That is not considered a valid kal v'chomer. However, in a situation, says Rabbi Choron, where we have a chumrah, you're not allowed to boil the Korban Pesach in any liquid, not only as a derivative of that chumrah do we say that, well, now we will have a kula, that it's not going to be considered nicer if you did cook it in other liquids. That's not a disqualification of the Kal V'Chomer. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe gives now a different source why you're not allowed to cook the Korban Pesach in any type of liquid. The Pasuk says, B'mayim, Eli Alamayim, I would perhaps think that only water may not be used to pour the Korban Pesach. Shar Mashkim Minayim, how do you know about any other liquid? Tamalaymer, Uboshel Mavoshel, any type of boiling, become Mokkim. Any type of boiling. Ask the Mizrahi, and we know that many times when the Torah repeats a word, the Gemara, Rashi and Chumash says it many times, Dibra Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam. It's normal to repeat your word, and therefore it's not to be misunderstood. So therefore, ask the Mizrahi, why are we learning from Basha Mavushal that teach us that you can't use other liquids to cook the Korban Pesach? Dibra Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam, the Torah repeats itself. So Mizrahi says two answers. One answer he says is that we don't rely on Dibra Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam. We don't say that unless we have no other option. Here we have another answer. We don't say Dibra Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam. Furthermore, he says that the only time we say Dibra Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam is when the Torah uses the exact same word twice. Here, however, the Torah is not using the exact same word. First it says Uboshel, and then it says Mavushel. So it's not the exact same word. There we don't say Dibra Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam. My benai, what's the nafkamina between the two answers that we just gave? Answer to Gemara, Flea Kaver. When a Korban Pesach will be roasted in a pot without water or any other liquid other than its own juices. According to the Tanna Kamma, such a Korban Pesach will be considered a valid Korban Pesach because there's no external liquids. According to Rebbe, it will be usur because any type of boiling, even if it's its own juices, doesn't fall into the category of Basha Mavusha. Rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, that taught us that you're not allowed to use other liquids from the Kal V'Chomer, high Basha Mavusha my Adilai, what do they teach it for? Teaches Dr. Maram, Mibayle Lechatanya, Bashloi Vachakat Tzoloi, if somebody boiled the Korban Pesach and then roasted it, Oishit Tzoloi Vachach Bishloi, or if he first roasted it and then he cooked it, chayiv, he's chayiv for eating it. Explain it to Gemara. Bishlam of Bishlam Akach Tzoloi. I can understand in a situation where somebody first cooked the Korban Pesach and then he roasted that he should be chayiv. Da Bishloi. He cooked the Korban Pesach, and as we learned, it's also to cook the Korban Pesach. El Tzoloi Vakach Bishloi. If somebody first roasted the Korban Pesach, and then he boiled it, Hatzliyeshu. So we have a roasted Korban Pesach. So we have a roasted Korban Pesach. Why is it disqualified? Amar Rav Kahana, answers Rav Kahana, Hamani, who is the Tanya of this price? Rav Yossi. It's going according to Rav Yossi. The Tanya, Yoitzim Rav Kipka Shor. First halakha Rav Yossi tells us is that you could use a matzah that was soaked in water and you could be mekayim the mitzvah. And before we go further in the Gemara, the halacha is that somebody should eat matzah as it is, not soaked, not dipped. The mitzvah matzah that you're going to eat, the kezayis matzah, when kind the mitzvah, should be just plain matzah. However, if somebody is sick and can't chew, or if he has problems with chewing in general, the halacha is Yotzim Rekik HaShorim. What does Rekik HaShorim mean? So in Shulchan Aruch it says that certainly if you just dip the matzah into liquid, and if you just dipped it, you didn't let it soak, it wouldn't make a difference what type of beverage, that is alright. But let's say for someone that unfortunately even that will not be enough, then the halacha is HaShorim. Yotzer Rekik HaShori, we could soak the matzah. However, the halacha is that when soaking matzah, it's preferable to soak it in water, as we learned at the beginning of the shiur, water doesn't really impart a taste, versus soaking it in other beverages which impart a taste on the matzah. The halacha, however, is if somebody did soak it even in other beverages, he is yotzer the mitzvah. However, the Bi'a Halacha gives another Eitzah. He says, that somebody who unfortunately can't chew could grind up the matzah into matzah meal and eat it that way. The Shaul Satchuvus Binyan Tzion, in fact, says that that is a preferable method of eating the matzah for someone who can't eat the matzah in the regular fashion versus soaking it. However, the Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein says that from understanding what it says in the Mishnah Berurah B'Halacha, it seems that either option, whether grinding or soaking, are equally acceptable for somebody who has no choice. However, if someone is soaking the matzah, he should be careful not to soak it in hot water, because certainly, as we're going to learn now, that there's a concern of bishul achar afia, cooking after baking, which would make the matzah lose the status of matzah. So certainly it should not be soaked in a kli rishon, and according to some achroinim, not even a kli sheni, if the water in the kli sheni is a yad salavispa. Another issue to discuss of barakik hashari is the minig of gebrox. There are people that have a minig on Pesach not to put matzah into water, and our Gemara clearly shows us that we may put matzah into water. So just to discuss the basis for this minig, there are really two bases, two mekayris. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says that in earlier times, in the times of the Gemara, matzahs, the dough for the matzah was kneaded very well, that to make sure there were no grain or flour left over, and the matzah was baked properly, and therefore there was no concern when eating a matzah or dipping it into water that there was any grain or flour left that when sitting in water could chas v'shalom become chametz. However, in later times we're concerned, says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, that perhaps the matzah wasn't baked properly, and if the matzah is not baked properly, we may have leftover flour or grain sitting in water to become chametz. The Shulchan Aruch Rav quotes Darizal that on Pesach people take on as many chumras as they can and should. The Shari Tshuva is bothered with this approach. He says that on the contrary, as we've learned earlier, in earlier generations they made thick matzahs. When thick matzahs are made, there's a greater concern that there's flour or grain left over. Our matzahs, which are thin and are baked, there's less of that concern. The Knesset Gedola, however, has a different source for the minig regarding the brux. He says that there was once a woman making knedlich out of matzah meal, and her neighbor came to visit her, and she didn't realize that the knedlich were being made out of matzah meal. Rather, she thought that the knedlich were being made out of regular flour, and she assumed that regular flour may be used on Pesach to cook and bake, which of course is certainly usur, and because of that, that's how the minig began for not eating gebrox on Pesach. So back says the Gemara, Rav Yosihi, the Tanya, Yotze Brikik Hashari, we can use a soaked matzah or mevushel, and if it's cooked shalom the moach, as long as it hasn't been dissolved. Divrei Remei. Yotze Brikik Hashari, you're allowed to use a soaked matzah, avloim mevushel, not that it's cooked, even though it has not dissolved. So obviously we see that Rabbi Yossi holds that even something which is baked, a matzah which is baked, once it's boiled, it's no longer considered a baked product. Similarly, he'll say regarding our carbon Pesach that was roasted and then boiled, that it will not be considered any more sli, it will not be considered any more a roasted matzah. Ask Tysus, if our Gemara is going according to Rav Yossi, who said by matzah that if it's baked and then boiled, it's no longer matzah, so then we don't need the pasuk of Boshem Uvushel. What was our Gemara's question? Our Gemara's question was, according to Rabbanon, what are they going to do with Boshem Uvushel? So he said that it's come to teach us this thing, that if it's roasted and then cooked. And that's Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi doesn't need a pasuk. Taisa says, the where does Rabbi Yossi know his din from? That cooked and then baked is not considered cooked anymore, or baked and then cooked, I'm sorry, is not considered baked. from this din of boshel mevushel that if it's sli and nach kach mevushel, it's not considered sli anymore. Ulama, Ula said, afil tem Rameya. Even according to Rameya, shani hocha, even Rameya will hold by matzah, if you boil it after you bake it, it doesn't affect the status of the matzah. Here, by makro, boshel mevushel, mikol makay, any time you boil the Karban Pesach, it disqualifies it even after you, even if it was first baked, even if it was first roasted, if you bake it afterwards, it's possible. Ask the Egli Tal, what is the Gemara essentially saying? What the Gemara is essentially saying is that we always follow what happened last. So if we always follow what happens last, so why in the halacha of Bishloy, Vachkach, Tzolay, if you boiled it and then you roasted it, it's disqualified? If we follow what happened last, what last thing is, it's that roasted. So the Gital explains that a carbon Pesach, the moment it's boiled, becomes disqualified. And once it's disqualified, nothing can correct it. Only by Tzolay, when you roast it, which was qualified, Vachkach Bishloy, there we is teaching us that we follow what happened last and it also becomes disqualified. And here we learn that the halacha is that if something is first cooked and then it's baked and then cooked, roasted and then cooked, we say that that's considered a new maisa. Tosfos points out that although that's what Al Gemara says, by understanding the Gemara Masechta Brachos, it seems that we don't follow this concept only regarding Hilchos Brachos, not any other place in halacha. But many Paiskim disagree with Tosfos, the Prizmagodim, the Mashad understanding of Tosfos, and Rashi, and they explain that if you cook something after you roast it, or you roast something after you cook it, you would have a problem by Pesach, and it's a very relevant Shiloh Gabi Hilchos Shabbos. Let's say you have something, I'll give two examples. Let's say the cholent gets completely dried out. So though the cholent was originally cooked, but then when it gets completely dried out, it's no longer in the status of cooked, it's in the status of tzli, of roasted. If now somebody will add hot water, water that was on the blech, to that cholent, it will be bishul achat tzliya, which according to this Gemara would be asur. That perhaps may not be so much b'shaila, because that's a tzli keder, and some Paiskim say that tzli keder is also only in the status of bishul, so it would be considered bishul acha bishul, which would not be a shayla. However, there's another situation that could be a shayla, and that is the question of making a coffee from instant coffee on Shabbos. Because although coffee beans are generally first cooked, they then go through a drying process, which would be considered like a tzliya. If somebody then pours hot water on that coffee, he's doing bishul achatzliya. According to Al Gemara, bishul achatzliya is considered bishul. That's why the Mishnah Berurah says you should avoid bishul achatzliya, and perhaps that's why coffee should not be made in a klishim, or not even maybe in a klishim. The Paiskim discuss that in Al Gemara we've been discussing that a carbon Pesach has to be roasted. Cooking, obviously, even in any beverage, as we've been learning, is prohibited. What would be the halacha, asked the Paiskim, if kavush, if somebody allowed the Karban Pesach to sit in water for 24 hours, or in a sharper liquid, even for less than 24 hours, which we discussed, the halacha is kavush k'mevushel. Something sitting in water is considered mevushel. Will that Karban Pesach be disqualified as mevushel? Will there be over the lab? So the Paiskim say, although it's certainly not the way to prepare the Karban Pesach, it's not necessarily that you will be over the laugh of bishul of cooking Karban Pesach. Because although the halacha is kavush k'mevushel, there's a crazy place that says that what kavush k'mevushel means that just like when you cook, flavor is absorbed or is expelled from the items that are being cooked, when you kavush, the halacha says the same thing happens. But not that kavush really achieves the exact same thing as cooking, that we should say that if somebody was chayvish, if somebody preserved the Karban Pesach in water or in a sharp item, that that would be considered mamish bishul. Tarabon, yochot tzolik katzorfei. Somebody roasted the Karban Pesach completely. Yichayiv, should be chayiv for eating it. Hamaloyma al tarchu menu no uvishul b'mishul amayim. The Torah says you're not allowed to eat in the status of no, which we'll discuss soon, or boil. No uvishul b'mishul matila, the loy should tzolik katzorfei. But not. It's not forbidden when it's completely roasted. What is completely roasted mean? Heichi dami, aravashi the shagya charucha, that you made it charred, completely burnt. Tanra bottom, yochel ochel kazayis chai, if you thought somebody ate a kazayis of raw Karban Pesach, yichayit, it should be chayit, tamaloy ma'al toikum lana no uboshel mavushel. No uboshel bavanti lacha, strictly no mavushel, the loy chai. Yochel yeh mutter, you would think that's even permitted to eat the Karban Pesach when it's raw, tamalami ki im tzalei eish, only when it's roasted. Heichi domi no, ask the Gemara, ki im tzalei eish, only when it's roasted. So the Masha asks, why when it's completely charred is the halacha that there's not, it's mutter, and when it's raw, although we're not over an iser, the Gemara says you should still not eat it that way. So the Chacham Tzvi answers, when somebody eats a Karban Pesach that's charred, first it was went through the status of tzli, that it was roasted, and instead of stopping it at that point, he went further and made it completely burnt. But it went through the status of tzli, which is what the Torah required, and that's why there's nothing wrong with eating it. On the other hand, some, a Karban Pesach that's raw, that carbon didn't go through the process that the Torah wants it to go through. The Torah wants it to go through a process of kiyum tzliyesh, of roasting. And this carbon wasn't roasted, and that's why, albeit he's not over the lab, he's certainly not doing what's permitted. Hey, chidami no. What exactly is no? What does partially cooked mean? Amrav, Rav, tedamli parsoi avarnayim. Like what the parsayim called avarnim. Which is a question in the Rishonim, what does that mean? Some Rishonim mean that it's partially cooked. However, once it comes to the status of makel b'rusoi, a concept that we find very often in Masechta Shabbos, which is either a third cooked or half cooked, a chalikus Rishonim, then it's already not in the status of no. The Michas Chinuch, however, quotes other Rishonim that say the makel b'rusoi would still be considered no, would still be considered partially cooked. It's not considered no only when it's cooked to a full degree. And the Shevet HaLevi, in fact, brings a raya from the Rambam, that that's the way the Rambam lives. Om Rav Chizda, Hamavashel b'chamet Tveri de Shabbos, if somebody cooks something in the hot springs of Tveri and Shabbos, potter, he's potter because that's not considered derech bishul. Pesach Shabbosel b'chamet Tveri, however, if somebody cooks the Pesach in Tveri Chayiv, is considered chai to boil. Ask the Gemara, my Shabbos Shabbos Taloi, why are we saying by Shabbos he's not chayiv? The Tovus Eish bin of Aleko. You have to have something cooked in fire. Chametz Tveria is not cooked in fire, it's cooked in the hot spring. It's cooked from the sun. Pesach Nami, so by Pesach also, Lav Tovus Eishu, it's not cooked from the fire. Why is that considered Boshim of Oshu? So the Achronim ask, how can we compare Shabbos to Pesach? By Shabbos, the halacha is that we follow the way cooking took place in the preparation of the Mishkan. And cooking for the Mishkan took place in fire. But Pesach, there is no such thing. So why should I say that it only is chayiv when it's cooked in fire? So some Achrayim answer, because the Pasuk says by Pesach also, ki im tzliyesh. It has to be fire. And if it's not tzliyesh, it's not chayiv. Another teretz is that the Pasuk says regarding Shabbos, as tevashelu bashelu, that whatever you need cooked prior to Shabbos, half cooked before Shabbos, because you can't cook on Shabbos. Now, if cooking in something which is a derivative of the sun is considered cooking, why does the Torah require that everything be cooked before Shabbos? Cook it in a Tovus Chama.
It must be that the Torah is teaching us that cooking is something, a derivative of the sun, is not cooking at all under any circumstances, and therefore would not be chayiv for Korban Pesach either. Begley Tal answers that there are two types of a shinum. There are two types of something that's not done in the regular fashion. That means, one example he gives, if you're carrying something out, but instead of carrying it out in the normal fashion in your hand, you carry it out under your elbow. So he says, in such a situation, you're carrying. It makes a difference if you're carrying in your hand or you're carrying in your elbow. And the result is the exact same result. That situation, that shinui, is only a shinui that you chayiv on Shabbos, but you're not chayiv, but would not make a difference in the rest of the Torah. Only in Shabbos was the concept of Melechus Machshavos. But then there's a shinui in the actual act. Cooking in the sun and cooking in fire is not the same cooking. Cooking means fire. And if you cook in the sun, it's not called cooking, and that's why you should not be chayiv. And that's why the Gemara asks, my chayiv the Tani, why you chayiv by cooking a Korban Pesach in the Chametz Tveria, the ka over Mishum Tzliyesh. Because the Torah says Ki Im Tzliyesh. Strictly the Torah wanted to be cooked by roasting, and here you didn't roast it, and that's why you chayiv. Rav Chiya b'Reid Rav Nosson Masn L'Hod Rav Chizda b'Hedya Om Rav Chizda Yisloot explicitly Hanvash b'Cham Yitzvari b'Shabbos Potter on Shabbos cooking in the Cham Yitzvari Potter or Pesach Shabbos b'Cham Yitzvari Chayiv. However, if you cook the Pesach b'Cham Yitzvari Chayiv, Shinem M'Shem Tzli Eish, because the Torah says it should be roasted over a fire. Cham Yitzvari is not roasted over a fire. The Mepharshim asks, how could the Cham Pesach ever be cooked in the Cham Yitzvari? Chametz Tveria are in Tveria, and the halach is that the Korban Pesach may not be taken out of Yerushalayim. Even if you tell me that they bring the Chametz Tveria to Yerushalayim, that's bringing in a klisheni, and a klisheni certainly is not mevashel. So the Yad Yitzchak answers that the Gemara is speaking about a situation where they took the Korban Pesach outside Yerushalayim, and the Gemara is saying that the person will be over two lav. One laugh for taking the Korban Pesach outside Yerushalayim, and another laugh for cooking it Boshel Mevoshel. The Minchas HaTamid explains that although cooking in a klisheni is not considered cooking, if you'll take a utensil, a vessel, and you'll submerge it in the Chametz Tveria, that will be considered klirishin. And if you bring that utensil, vessel, to Yerushalayim, you'll have a situation where you could cook in this Chametz Tveria. Obviously, we're dealing in a situation where it's an insulated thermos, that it doesn't lose its heat, it's still yet Seledus Poter. Another answer that the Marakoyim gives is that we learned earlier that when the Mishkan was in Noiv and Givoyim, they were allowed to bring the Korban Pesach in Noiv and Givoyim. And then there is no Isser of Yotze. There is no Isser of taking the Korban Pesach outside. Only when the Korban Pesach is brought in Yerushalayim is there an Isser to remove from Yerushalayim. But if it was sacrificed in Noiv HaGivayim, it may be taken to other areas of Eretz Yisrael. And that's the situation in the Gemara's discussion. The Beis Yitzchak says that when the Gemara uses the term Chametz Tveria, it doesn't necessarily mean Chametz Tveria, the springs of Tveria. It means any hot springs. And the Gemara is referring to hot springs that are in Yerushalayim. They may not be the Chametz Tveria, but they're like the Chametz Tveria. The Gemara, many places in Shas, in Masechta Makkos, discusses a concept called lav shebeklolos, where there's a lav, which is not specific to one aveiro, but rather speaks to many different aveiros. There's a shaila if one can get malchus for such a lav. Ki im tzli eish is certainly a lav shebeklolos, because it doesn't speak about one specific lav. Amar Rava, so Rava says, ochloi no, if somebody ate a Korban Pesach raw, loikishtai, he gets two malchus. One for the lav of na, and one for the lav of tzli eish. because Rava holds that one can get malchus for lash of a klos. Mevushel, similarly, if somebody eats it boiled, like a shtayim will also get two malchus. One for mevushel and one for kim tliyesh. Not umevushel, if he eats it both not and mevushel, like a sholosh. One for not, one for mevushel, and one for kim tliyesh. Most Rishonim explain the Gemara that he ate two different kazaisim. He ate one kazais of not, and we ate one kazais of mevushel. However, the Mechas Chinuch quotes some Rishonim that say they were speaking about the same kazais. If this kazais first was not, that was partially cooked and partially roasted, and then afterwards the mevushel was boiled, on one kazais, according to those Rishonim, we could have three lavim: a lav of not, a lav of mevushel, and a lav of kumtzliyesh. Abaya disagrees, and he holds I am like an alash of a close. Now, explains the Gemara, the way Rashi explains the Gemara, there's a machloikis now, why does Pshat and Abaya? Ikadar mitatu hudaloi loki. That you don't get two malchus, chodami is loki. That means, if somebody eats the Karan Pesach, no, they'll only get a laugh for no, not for kim tliyesh. But let's say somebody eats it in a different manner altogether. Not no or not mevushel. Let's say chametz tferia, as we learned at Amar Aleph. So there you're not getting malchus for no, because it's not no. You're not getting malchus for mevushel, because it's not mevushel. There you will get malchus for kim tzliyesh. Because what Abaye in this version holds is that you don't get a malchus for lash beklolus if you're getting malchus anyway. But in a situation where you will not be receiving malchus, then you can get malchus for lash beklolus. Nikodami, another version holds, Chodim Nami Lailaki. You never get Malchus for Lash of a Klolus. Because the Torah, when it teaches us about receiving Malchus, immediately afterwards discusses the Lav Dechsima. Lav Dechsima means that somebody is not allowed to muzzle an animal while it threshes the grain. The Gemara Masech the Matis teaches us that this becomes the model of when there is a Chi of Malchus, or when there is not a chiyuv malchus. The Gemara says, lav dechsima is a lav which is a specific lav. It's only one aveira. Only in such a type of situation is there malchus. But when you have a lav shvaklolus, like kim tzliyesh, which could be referring to many situations, there is no malchus at all. We have the same type of shayla, rav omer, ochel zog, if a nazir eats grape skin, like a shtayim, he will get two malchus. Because the Torah says regarding a nazir, anything that's a derivative of the grape, skins and the seeds, lo yoichel is not allowed to eat. So again, the question is, lo yoichel is a lav shibakolos. Because begins, I'm sorry, mikol shiyasa yayin, which is a lav shibakolos, and then it speaks chatsanim vazag. So the same question: do you get a lav? Do you get malchus for lav for the klolos? Rava says like the shtayim, you get a lav for zog, and you also get the lav for klolos shiyas megefer yayin. The same b'chatsanim: if somebody eats seeds, according to Rava, like the shtayim, zag b'chatsan. If he eats both zag b'chatsan, like a sholosh, one for zag, one for chatsan, and one for klolos shiyas megefer yayin. Atayu Omer ain't like in a lav for the klolos. And again, as machloek is how to understand Abaya. Ikadam ritatiu b'loy loki. In a situation, let's say he eats part of the grape, which is not the zag, and not the chartzin. So, what's going to be the loki? Ikadam ritatiu b'loy loki. You never get two malchus if one of them is a lav shebeklolus. Chodz mi loki, but let's say you eat part of the grape, which is not the chartzin and zag. There, Abaya will agree you get a malchus for the lash of the klolus. Ikadam rechadid no elam elaki, you wouldn't get any malchus ever for lash of the klolus. The lam yachta lelav klav tachsima, it's not similar to klav tachsima, which is the prototype for malchus. Tanabon, och kazayis nomi by jod. If somebody ate a kazayis with karan pesach or partially roasted karan pesach on er pesach, potter. He's not over an aveir. Kazayis nomi shech shecha, if he eats it at night, which is the time when the Karan Pesach is supposed to be eaten, chayiv he is chayiv. Och a kazayis slim by joint. If somebody ate a kazayis of the roasted, properly roasted Karan Pesach, an Erev Pesach, le posel atzmoy mich mecha burah.
he doesn't become disqualified from the group that he's in. Because the halacha is that the Korban Pesach has to be eaten in a group, and the halacha also is that once somebody eats a kezayis of Korban Pesach in one group, he may not transfer himself into another group. But here, since he ate this kezayis of roasted Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach, that doesn't disqualify him from moving to another group. However, and therefore, kezayis limashem sheikha, but if he eats the kezayis of Korban Pesach ready a Pesach by night, there, Paslat of Nechaburah, he can't eat with another group. Tani Ila, there's another bride. Yochel Och Kazayas Namabal Joy, I would think if somebody ate a Kazayas of partially roasted Korban Pesach and Erev Pesach, Yichayas, he should be Chayas, but then who? And I'll say a Kabachoymer, or Ma Bishosh Shiyash, never come a Chotzli. If in the time when you're supposed to eat roasted Korban Pesach by night, yes, no, there's a laugh for eating it if it's partially roasted. So in Erev Pesach, when you don't have to eat the Korban Pesach, when it's roasted, certainly somebody should be over a laugh for eating it when it's partially roasted. Or perhaps we should say as follows. In the time where somebody doesn't have the obligation to eat it roasted during the day, yes, the Baal Teichel no. Then there's an issur to eat it partially roasted. However, b'shosh yesh to become achatzli, in the time when you're supposed to eat the Korban Pesach in a roasted state, ain't the Baal Teichel no. Then there won't even be an issur to eat it in a partially roasted way. V'ata tama. Why should I think that the issur of eating a Korban Pesach partially roasted is lifted when Pesach begins, because it becomes mutter to eat it roasted? So I would say, since now I can eat the Korban Pesach in a roasted state, even if I eat it in a partially roasted state, I will not be over the laugh. Tamaloymer, so the pasuk says, "A parchal men no or bushel bebushel b'mayim ki im tzliyesh." Ten tamaloymer kim tzliyesh. The pasuk doesn't have to tell us it has to be roasted, because we know that the pasuk already before says it, that you're supposed to eat it in a roasted fashion. It says tzli eish umatzos umatam alom kiyum tzli eish. Why does the Torah repeat the words that it should be roasted? Loy malach b'shosh yeshna b'kamecha tzli. When there's an obligation to eat it roasted, yeshna b'al tachna law, there's a lab if you eat it partially roasted. B'shosh yeshna b'kamecha tzli. But when in the time when there is no obligation to eat it roasted, Erev Pesach, and about Teichel Nod, there is no laugh for eating it partially roasted. Rebbe Oimer, Ekra Ni Boshel. If I would have only said the word Boshel, Matam Eloimer Bevoshel, why did the Torah add the word Bevoshel? Shiyachel, Enli Elish Shabishlam Meshech HaShecha. I would think that only if somebody bore the Korban Pesach at night, that's when it's Asur. Bishlam Ebay Joimer 9, how do I know that even if the Korban Pesach was boiled at Erev Pesach, that it's asur? Tamaloymer boshel mevoshel become okay. It makes no difference when it was cooked. Ask the Gemara. But we began today's shir teaching by boshel mevoshel after Rebbe Litzlei Keder. Rebbe taught it to teach us that if the Korban Pesach is roasted in its pan in its own juices, or the shamashkin if it's boiled with other liquids, that it's considered mevoshel. So how could you tell me boshel mevoshel is coming to teach me that no matter when it's cooked, whether it's cooked at night or whether it's cooked in Erev Pesach, you're over the lava bishop? Answers the Gemara, Imkein Lemakra, if all the pasuk was coming to teach us was the din of Tzlikeid or Shamashkin, the pasuk could have said, Oy Boshel Boshel, say the same word Boshel twice, or say the same word Mavushel, Mavushel twice. My Boshel Mavushel, besides repeating the word, the Torah changes the word. What do we learn from this? Shmamin Atati, we can learn both things. We can learn both the din of Tzlikeder and Shamashkin, and also it makes no difference when it was boiled. Tarabon, Ochot Tzlimi Bajoy, if somebody ate roasted meat on Erev Pesach, Chayif, Ukezayis Nom Meshech HaShecha, if somebody eats a Kezayis of partially roasted Korban Pesach, Chayif, he's also Chayif. So the Sfas Emes makes an observation. How can we think that if somebody eats a Korban Pesach, Erev Pesach, he's Chayif?
Erev Pesach, it's not a Korban Pesach. And why should we chayiv? And furthermore, ask the Sfas, if this is correct, that if somebody eats a Korban Pesach, but Erev Pesach is chayiv, so why don't we have the same din by matzah? That if somebody ate matzah Erev Pesach is chayiv. So the Sfas says that the situation, the Gemara says, that you ate tzli and Erev Pesach is chayiv, is not that you just ate a kazayis of Korban Pesach. Of course, you're not supposed to eat an Erev Pesach, Korban Pesach, but that would not make you chayiv alive according to anyone. We're speaking, he says, that you ate up the entire Korban Pesach and Erev Pesach, and you didn't leave yourself over anything for Pesach by night. That's when the Gemara says you chayiv. And he says that that's exactly what we see in the words of the Gemara. Because if you look in the words of the Gemara, he says, when the Gemara speaks about ochel tzli, the Gemara doesn't say ochel kezayis tzli. The Gemara says ochel tzli. You ate tzli erev Pesach. What does that mean, tzli? You ate up the whole carbon. Nothing is left over. By no, the Gemara doesn't say that you ate up the whole carbon. It says kezayis. It must be that the carbon that we're discussing, that you ate in erev Pesach, is you ate up the whole carbon. Now the Gemara says, why is this halacha? Because ketanit tzli domin the no. Because the Gemara compares the halacha of roasted to partially roasted. Ma nabala, just like when you eat a partially roasted, the overlap, as we've been discussing, af tzli balav, so too if somebody eats up the entire Korban Pesach, an erev Pesach is overlap. Ask the Gemara, bishlam and no, I understand if somebody eats partially roasted Korban Pesach, he's overlap. Ksiv asoich lemen and no. The Torah says explicitly alav. El tzli menolam. From where do we see that somebody eats Korban Pesach roasted an erev Pesach? He's over alav. The ksiv v'ochel as abasta b'layla azeh. The prophet said we should eat the Korban Pesach at night. B'layla in at night. B'yoyim loy, not by day. Ask the Gemara. Hai lav abom mechlal esayu. But this is not a lav. It's only a lav that's derived from an essay. The Torah says eat it by night, and I derive don't eat by day. And we know that kol lav habo mechlal essay, a lav that's derived from an essay, doesn't have the status of a lav, rather has the status of an essay. Answer to Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda Hamani, who's the time of this brayso? Rabbi Yehudi. The Tanya, the pasuk says. But before we begin the brayso, there are two types of hedush. There are two types of sanctifying something. There's kedushas domin, something that only has monetary kedusha, and there's kedushas haguf, kedushas mizbeach, something which is inherently kaddish. So the Brayso teaches us. The pasuk says, "Shor b'ser, bull or lamb, serua b'kolit, which has one limb larger than the other, or it has unsplit hooves, the dovet haser so. You can make it a donation for." Bedek Habayis, Kedushas Domin, teaches us the Brayso. Oysa Atamatas Bedek Habayis. This animal, which is a Balmum, which is blemished, that you can make Kedushas Bedek Habayis, Kedushas Domin. However, the Atamatas Tmimul Bedek Habayis, an animal which is non blemished, which can have a Kedushas Aguf, because it can be brought in the Mizbeah, you're not allowed to make Kedushas Bedek Habayis. Bikan Amru, and from here we learn, the Kol Amatas Tmimul Bedek Habayis. If somebody does make an unblemished animal only kedushas bedek habayis, over b'essay, he's over only an essay. Says Rabbi Yehuda, ain li ala b'essay. How do I know that's not only an essay, but loisa seminayim, that it's even alive? Tamalayma yadav Hashem Moshe leima. Nimer al kol parsha kula. That teaches us shei b'loisa say. Did Rabbi Yehuda. The parsha teaching us that this is not just an somebody takes an unblemished animal and makes a kedushas bedek habayis is over a lot. Omlei Rebbe Bakkar, my mashma. How do we see from this parsha of Yidav Hashem Moshe Lamor a lot? Omlei, so he answered him with Siv Lamor. The prophet says Lamor, which means Loi Nema Bedvorim. No is said regarding to this. Somebody doing this is doing Loi, is doing a lot. Bei Rav Amar. The Yeshiva Rabbi said lav amar. What Moshe, when Akash Baruch was telling him was lav amar. Tell Klal Yisrael that if they will do this, they will be over a lav. So we see that even though the pasuk is an assay, a lab avor mechlal asay has the status according to this man the omer of a lab. But Tosfos points out that not every time that the Torah uses the word lamer should we automatically assume that it's a lab. Only where in the context of the pasuk does it seem or is it reasonable to say that the Torah is teaching us a lav, there do we explain that it means a lav.